The most well-known root word is the most well-known Hebrew word. It's never translated in the Bible. It's always just written in Hebrew. And that word is Amen. And Amen has the meaning of may this prayer come true.
Join Gloria Copeland and special guest Billy Brim for their fourth installment of their basic Hebrew language study. Learn how Hebrew words are constructed and why they're important for us to know today. Next on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Welcome to Hebrew class part four. Billy Brim is with us this week and she's teaching us Hebrew. And we're enjoying it. Hallelujah. It's great. And it's got a lot of revelation in just the way Hebrew works is revelation.
The way it works. It's so, absolutely, it is a mathematical language. It is so intricate. God is such a, he's into details. And every letter, the way the letters go together, and it is the language he created the world in and all the universe. Anything that's created was created in Hebrew. And when he wrote down his thoughts for us, they're written down in Hebrew.
Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong. This is an assumption on my part.
All righty.
I have not studied this out or prayed it out, but I would assume that that's the language spoken in heaven.
It is the language spoken in heaven for sure. Don't you remember we read in the New Testament where it said that Paul heard a voice from heaven?
Yes.
And it was speaking to him
that's
in the
right.
Hebrew tongue.
That's right.
And then if we'd gone on over into Revelation, there's some things in the book of Revelation that speak to us about things spoken in the Hebrew tongue. And so it'll be the trade language of the earth in the millennial age. And
you will probably have a high position because you already know how to speak it.
Well, I think the whole church knows how to speak it then.
You and your classes, of course.
Oh, yes, that's right. But I think I don't know whether... But anyway, I believe we'll all know how to speak it then.
I believe so.
But when I was in my Hebrew class, which God sent me to, I would learn things. I would sit there in those classes and You see, it's Eastern. This book is Eastern. It's not Western.
Right.
It's an Eastern book. And sometimes I hear people, like I recently heard a politician, and he was so mixed up on some things. And I thought, he needs to take a Hebrew class. And then he wouldn't be mixed up on those scriptures. He would see the heart of God
right.
and the thought of God. And that's not some hard eye for eye, tooth for tooth. And we'll get into that. What does that really mean? Of course, the Hebrews never were people that gouged somebody's eye out or pulled their teeth out. And so we'll see exactly what that meant in our lessons today and our lessons tomorrow. But when I was at my Hebrew school, Shulamit would bring in, she brought in some people
teacher.
Yeah, Shulamit Katznelson, the founder of the school. She and her family were first family of Israel. And they were involved in the rebirth of the nation of Israel in 1948. When I met Shulamit in 1986, she reminded me of a little Goldermeyer. I told you that. And we talked yesterday about our relationship. But she brought in people from a place called Neat Kedumim. And it was a place that grows all the plants of the Bible. For instance, this is a pomegranate.
Mm-hmm.
And the pomegranate, which was, you know, sown on the skirt of the priest, a pomegranate and a bell, a pomegranate and a bell, all around the skirts of the high priest. This pomegranate, it's full of meaning. And the pomegranate tree, when I see them over there, it's the only tree that it has the full fruit and the flower and the buds all at the same time
what?
On the pomegranate tree. So we would learn things. They would have pomegranates in that garden. They'd have every plant of the figs, what all they mean. Almonds, they're the early bloomers. It all means something. Everything about God's word means something. And I love every little piece, every little morsel, every little bite I can get of what God had in mind. Now, I remember when she brought the people of Neat Kedumim, and they started talking to us about this passage. And we talked about it yesterday in Deuteronomy chapter 11. God's bringing them into the promised land. Chapter 11, verse 11, verse 10. The land where you go to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence you came out, where you sowed your seed and watered it with your foot as a garden of herbs. Egypt depended on the rise and fall of the Nile River. They would make irrigation ditches and water wheels that they worked with their feet. But God said, you're going into the promised land, and this promised land where you go in to possess it, verse 11, is a land of hills and valleys and drinks water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year unto the end of the year. So it's going to have rains, and they're going to be in their season. It doesn't have a Nile River going up and down. Verse 13, it shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently unto the commandments, what I command you this day, to love the Lord with your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Here's what you're going to get for that. I will give you the rain. This rain is a great blessing. I will give you the rain of your land in its due season. Now, I don't know about where you live, but in Missouri, it can rain just about any time. And this year, oh, have we had buku rain and even floods. But in Israel, you have two rainy seasons, and it doesn't rain otherwise. I will give you the rain of your land in its due season. The first rain, that's the early rain or the former rain, and the latter rain. In order that you may gather in your corn, your wine, and your oil, you will get a crop. You will get harvest. But you've got to have rain at the right time. Then I will send grass in your fields for your cattle that they may eat and be full. In other words, prosperity. Mm-hmm. You're going to have crops. You're going to prosper if you get the rain at the right time. Now, the former rain, because the Hebrew year begins in what we call the fall, the autumn, the former rains come in the autumn. And they come in right there when you're ready to plant, prepare the ground. And then the latter rains come in at the, you might say in February. They're going to come in before you reap the crop. February, March, then you're going to be reaping down in June. And so, but you're going to have former rains and you're going to have latter rains. And then you'll get your crop. And if you don't obey God, then you're not going to get rain. And verse 19, it says, verse 18, you shall lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, bind them for a sign upon your hand and frontlets before your eyes. Teach them to your children when you sit in your house, when you lie down, and write them, verse 20, on the doorposts and upon your gates. The Hebrews were writing. They were an educated people, and they could write 3,500 years ago. And so they would write the Shema that we talked about yesterday. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind. God told them to in the Word. And then he told them to write these rain scriptures. So they have these little cases that they put on their doors, the mezuzah. And then have you ever seen Jews and they got this little black case right here before their on their forehead and it's bound on there?
Right.
That's these scriptures, these two scriptures. It says to bound them for a frontlet before your eyes. So that's the frontlet before their eyes. It says to bind them on your hand. So they bind them on their hands, the Shema and this. But I heard about these rains, and they explained to us, the people, that the crops in Israel, it's really well balanced. The rains have to be at the right time. The winds have to be at the right time. The harvest has to be at the right time. And it's so intricate, and you can see such spiritual meaning to it. For one thing, the rains, we're told, they're types of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We're told that in the book of Joel. In the book of Joel, the Bible's progressive revelation. So when you get over to the prophet Joel, it says in Joel chapter 2, verse 23, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. And he's basically talking here to Israel. He says, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, when they were all scattered. He said, I'm going to restore all that to you. But and you're going to have a time of great harvest there. But it's also spiritually indicative and speaks of the church. How do we know? Look here at verse 28. There's often parallel blessings with Israel, his people Israel, and with the Jews. And here it says, and with the church, verse 28, it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men see visions. And upon your servants and upon your handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit. Okay, so now we go over to Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, when they had that great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, came upon them in that upper room, and they were all, and it was on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Some people said, oh, they're drunk. He said, they're not drunk. Peter said, they're not drunk. Verse 16, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. So we find that the early rains and the latter rains are types of outpourings of the Holy Spirit.
And that's what is called today speaking in tongues.
Speaking in
that
tongues.
Some people
they don't know what that means.
The wall, but
it's actually
not off the wall. It's in the Bible.
That's where we get it. We get it from the Bible.
That's right.
And so in the Bible here, it tells us that they were in that upper room. And you know what day they were there? They were there on the Feast of Pentecost, which is the day Moses got the Word of God on Mount Sinai. When they got the Word, they're here celebrating getting the Word, and the Spirit comes. The Spirit and the Word agree. These are things I saw as I was sitting there in my class and studying all of them. Oh, so marvelous. And then we go over to the book of James. It says, be glad then. He said, concerning the coming of the Lord, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth, James 5, 7, and 8, until it gets the early and the latter rains. So they're getting the early and the latter rains upon this harvest of men here upon the earth. And we know that we see the early rain outpouring, Acts chapter 2. We see a latter rain outpouring at Azusa Street time. And then it tells us in James and in Joel, there's going to come a day when the outpouring is like getting all the early and latter rains in the same month. So we're looking forward to a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I could see these things. Oh, my goodness. I could see that everything in this Eastern book had an Eastern significance, and that significance was built upon the Bible. So I said, and Shulamit heard me. I said, oh, I wish I could bring my Christian friends. And she said, bring them. And so I started bringing tours that we call seminar tours in conjunction with Opana Kiva. And we take them. When the Bible says Israel, it says Eretz Israel and Am Israel. Eretz Israel is the land of Israel. Am Israel is the people of Israel. They go together. If you see Israel, it could be either the land or the people. They go together in the plan of God. There are ways that you can see things in the Word of God, which tell us this is how it is. Oh, my goodness. This is the way to look at things through Eastern eyes. And so as we as I studied these things and I said, oh, I wish I could bring my Christian friend. She told me to bring them. So we started taking seminar tours, and I take seminar tours every year. I take probably two a year. The next one that we're going to have is June. I think it's June 9th. But we go and we see parts of the land and explore things with this connotation of what is the root of this? What is the root of this thing we're studying right here? So I want to take you now to the Hebrew language itself. On our seminar tours, when we go through the land, our people on our tour learn to speak Hebrew. And they will say, for instance, in the morning, rather than good morning, we say, Boker Tov. Boker Tov. Boker is morning. And it's like the word broker, like a stockbroker without the R. Boker. And then we say the word Tov. Boker Tov. Boker Tov.
Good. That's good, right?
Yeah. Morning, good. Boker Tov. And a good answer to that is Boker Or, morning light. Good morning. Morning light. So now we're going to learn a Hebrew greeting. And this is an ancient greeting. This is what David used and Joseph used and the Shunammite woman used. And we're going to be talking about that. And it is shalom.
Shalom.
And so when you greet someone in the morning, you're going to ask them, what is their peace? And we'll practice just a little bit before
we get
to
checking their peace.
You're checking their peace. And we'll see what that means in just a minute here. But the Hebrew word for the heavenly food that fell down every day, what was that word?
Manna.
The manna. Okay. The first part of that word is going to give you a Hebrew word, ma. And ma means what? Manna mean, what is it? What is this bread falling down here from heaven? What is it? The first part is ma, which is what? So a Hebrew greeting that you say to people in the morning is Ma Shalom. What is your peace? Ma Shalom. And you give them, you say, Baruch Hashem. Bless the name. It's good. Baruch Hashem Tov. I could say to you, for instance, Gloria, Ma Shlomech. I'm going to put the female ending. Ma Shlomech. And you would say, Baruch Hashem Tov. Want to practice?
Sure.
Okay. Ma Shlomech, Gloria.
Baruch Hashem Tov.
See, she praised the Lord. It's good. I ask her, what is your peace? And she said, Baruch bless the name. Shem it's tov. Good. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. I love the way, even in modern Hebrew, even in this land, brought back after thousands of years, they speak the greetings of the old times of the Bible. Bless the Lord. Now, we're going to talk about Hebrew words here just a little bit, and we're going to move you into that word, that wonderful word, shalom. This is taken from a book that's part of our offer, and the cover's off mine. It's so old, Hebrew language grew. Everything in the Bible grows. It grows from roots. Everything. Everything in the Bible, Gloria, is seed time and harvest. The whole book. You plant seed, you reap harvest. And so here we have the Hebrew root. Even words grow from Hebrew roots. The Hebrew root has three consonants usually. I'm reading you from Horowitz's book. We come now to the central theme of all word building in Hebrew. It is the central rhythm of the whole vast, far-flung structure of the Hebrew language, and this is it. Practically all words in Hebrew go back to a root, and this root must have in it three consonants. They don't really use vowels. They just use consonants. You can do anything you want to the root. You can use it in any verb form or tense. You can turn it into any one of 10 or 20 or more nouns. You can make it an adjective, an adverb, a preposition, or what you will. But no matter what you do, you will always see staring you in the face the three consonants of the root. You can never escape them. And equally important, no matter what you do with the root, no matter into what word you turn it, that word must carry in it some of the meaning of the root. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have vowel sounds that are weaving in and out of these words, but you will always see the root word. The most well-known root word is the most well-known Hebrew word. It's never translated in the Bible. It's always just written in Hebrew. And that word is Amen. And Amen has the meaning of may this prayer come true. So Amen is a root word, and it has Aleph, and Mem and Nun as its root. Aleph, Mem, Nun. Amen. And Amen, it has the idea of may this prayer come true. Now, it's like a wagon wheel. We're going to show you this. It's like a wagon wheel. And at the center, the hub of the wagon wheel, will be the root word Amen. And then out from it, going like spokes, there are all the words that are related to the word Amen. May this prayer come true. And in these words, you're going to have the three consonants of the root, and then you're going to have vowel sounds weaving in and out of it. So in this family of words, I think that you can teach Bible truths from every family of words. And from the word Amen, from that family of words, it has the things that it takes to make a prayer come true. One of them is Emunah. Emunah. Can you kind of hear how that's close to Amen? Mm-hmm. Emunah is faith. It takes faith to make a prayer come true. Faith in the Hebrew is this. When you see faith written on the page in Hebrew, you can also see the word Amen right in the middle of it. May this prayer come true. Well, it takes faith to make a prayer come true. It takes truth, the truth of God's word, to make a prayer come true. So you can see the Hebrew word for truth from this same family of words. For a prayer to come true, has to be built on the truth of God's word, and it has to be believed by faith. The word believe, ani ma'amin, ma'amin, that comes from this Hebrew word. And another word that comes from this family of words is right hand, yamin. It means your strength. The strength of God is called his right hand. So for a prayer to come true, you have to have the truth of the word, You have to have faith in it. Mm-hmm. You have to believe it. And you have to have the power of God to bring the thing about. So in this family of the word amen, we see great truths of God.
So there's teaching in the word, in the word.
In the words and in the word families. And I tell you, when I would see these things, I would just get so excited. Now, tomorrow, we're going to go more in detail, but we're going to just touch on it a little bitty bit today. Another family of words.
Praise
and
God.
It's that family that we get our greeting, shalom. It's the word, you know, shalom means peace. But the root word that you always see, the three consonants of the root that shalom comes from, is the word shalem. And shalem means whole, W-H-O-L-E, complete. Now, he's writing here in his book, Horowitz, and he said, "It probably never occurred to you, and it may faintly amuse you to know, that when someone says to you and inquires, Mashlomech or Mashlomka, what is your peace? He's actually asking you whether you're whole or complete.
If you're in, okay?
Yeah, is everything okay? Are you in one piece? They want assurance that no part of you, fingers, toes, legs, arms, etc., is missing or broken. The root meaning of our familiar greeting, shalom, is whole, complete.
Praise God.
If you're whole, you're probably well and at peace. It is interesting to note that the English greeting, hail, has the same meaning as shalom, namely, being whole. Can't you kind of hear hail, whole, hello, shalom? When someone says hail, he's wishing you whole. The English word shalom, bless the Lord, we get lots of our words from it. But shalom, whole, hail. And so when I said to you, Ma shlomech, what is your peace, Gloria? And you said,
what did I say?
Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem.
Tov. Tov.
Tov. Baruch Hashem Tov.
In other words, you're whole.
I am.
Ma shlomech or Ma shlomcha, depending if it's a man or a woman. Baruch Hashem Tov. Or everything's in order or excellent.
Glory to God.
But the question is, are you whole?
I am, Billy.
And you got peace
praise
because you're whole.
To God.
And you got peace because
that's
you're whole.
Right. That's right.
Shalom is the peace that comes from being whole.
Praise God. That's good. That's good. Now, this book Billy's reading out of, we're going to show you how to get that. You're going to like it. We'll be right back.
It is God's language. It is His Word. It is His thoughts spoken and written to us. It is the Hebrew language, the revelation and the light of God.
It is Hebrew that was used by God to convey His will and His ways, His laws, and His insights.
Begin your journey to discover deeper revelations in God's Word with the Treasures in the Hebrew Language package. Find out why it's so important to study Hebrew, learn key words, and start writing Hebrew letters as you watch the DVD Elementary Hebrew Lesson 1, The Alephbet. Enjoy singing the Alephbet song also included with the DVD. Then add more to your newfound knowledge with the books How the Hebrew Language Grew by Edward Horowitz and The Secret of Hebrew Words by Benjamin Bleck. Order the Treasures in the Hebrew Language package today and step into a whole new realm of revelation for your life. Order the Treasures in the Hebrew Language package today for only $55, an excellent resource for your personal study that will give you more insight into the Word of God and a deeper understanding of the Jewish culture. Purchase this four-product package online through our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order today.
Billy, tell us about the books we're offering.
Okay, this is an offer, and it's Hebrew
and
Treasures. And this first one is a DVD that was taken from my eschatology schools, in which we teach you the little alphabet song. We teach you how to read a little Hebrew. We teach you some glorious things out of the Bible, and this is on DVD and also the CD of the little song. Then we have the Secrets of Hebrew Words. Rabbi Benjamin Bleck has written this, and shown some words in here. And
very enlightening.
Very enlightening. And then we read today, out of this, How the Hebrew Language Has Roots. That's how the Hebrew language grows. or grew by Edward Horowitz, and we made a package out of it.
Yes, and you're going to want to get it. You need this. This is going to be good for you. It'll help you. It's fun. Isn't it fun?
It's fun.
To see those things? So we're going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem right now. Father, we just thank you, Lord. The peace of Jerusalem. We've been admonished to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We declare peace upon that place in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. There's a blessing
in
praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yes, there is. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Goody. Mm-hmm. Okay, 1 week from today, we're going to start in Washington, D.C., the Victory Campaign, November the 13th through the 15th, at the Hilton Memorial Chapel, Woodbridge, Virginia. This is one of the best meetings of the year. It's one of my favorite meetings, so you don't want to miss it. It's good. And then in 2009, Ken and I are going to Australia again. Mm-hmm. We're going to have several meetings. We're going to be in Sydney, May the 21st through the 23rd. We're going to Brisbane, May the 28th through the 30th. So put that on your calendars and come, all you guys over there. We love you. We're one with you. You're a blessing to us, and we're looking forward to coming. Thank you for being a part of the audience today. Billy and I enjoy, I enjoyed Billy coming down here because she's so much fun to listen to. And some of these things, we'll have more information. You need to go to her website and check things out. And our website, kcm.org, that'll be the information on meetings. This is Billy and Gloria wishing you a great and a wonderful day. We declare over your life.
Shalom.
That Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching The Believer's Voice of Victory. You can purchase a copy of this week's broadcasts on CD or DVD through our website at kcm.org or when you call toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to take this opportunity to encourage everyone to pray for our new president and vice president, to lift them up in prayer every day. Be sure to log on to our website at kcm.org for up-to-date information and ministry on current events.
God's got parts. He can give you a new heart or new kidneys or new anything else. This is the day of miracles and healing.
I'm moved by what I believe, and I believe what God has said. If we believe on Him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our righteousness. Hallelujah.
2008 has been an exciting season of meetings, but it's not over yet. Jump into the deeper things of God at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland November 13th through the 15th at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. Jump into the fullness of the blessing and walk out all God has for you. To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.